Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program. Welcome into the final day of the week for me. And a reminder that next week is pretty much a normal week here on WBSM. We'll have local programming for you every day but Wednesday. Every day but Christmas Day. Because that day we'll be off to spend with our families just like you'll be spending it with yours. And also, so we can play you some Christmas music. It'll start at 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve and go until 10 a.m. on Christmas Day. But the rest of the week, we'll have local programming for you. Barry will be off, but Brian Thomas will be in for him, except for Thursday when Paul Santos will be in for him. But we'll be here to lead you into 2025. And can you believe that? That's really all that's less than 2 weeks left of this year. And it's been a year for sure. No doubt about it. I saw a lot of memes going around talking about how, oh, this has been such a terrible year, the worst year yet. And I was like, well, I don't think it was the worst year yet. It was pretty bad. But 2020 was kind of worse. If we're just looking at the recent history, I mean, 2024 wasn't that bad in comparison, but I'm hoping that 2025 is better. And, you know, when we get past Christmas, we can get into some of your New Year's resolutions. I don't really love resolutions. I don't bother to make them because I never keep them. So 2023 was probably the first year I ever kept any New Year's resolution, which was to lose weight, which was what was my New Year's resolution every year. And in that particular case, I actually did lose weight that year. So I mean, I guess I'm 1 for 1,000. And I guess you could say that, you know, one of my New Year's resolutions was always to be more on time for things. And at some point I started doing that a little better. So maybe 2 for 1,000. But we can get into that, you know, after Christmas. I don't even want to start thinking about the changing of the calendar quite yet. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and get involved in the discussion this morning. I thought we might have a guest in the 8 o'clock hour, but that hasn't been confirmed. So maybe we will, maybe we won't. I do have some guests planned next week that should be some interesting discussions, including on Monday. We're going to be talking with you about the Massachusetts Health Connector. While there's still time for you to sign up for health insurance for 2025, while there's still the open enrollment period for that. And I can tell you, navigating through health insurance changes can be very difficult, can be very confusing. I had to make some changes for 2025 with mine and was going over it. We have the benefit of having an advisor that can walk you through and explain everything for you. And I was still confused. I was still not understanding how all of it works. But basically, I walked away with more insurance for 2025 than I've ever had at $20 less a month than I was paying already for less insurance. So I don't know how that worked out in my favor. I can't imagine it ever really does work out in your favor. It is going from one company to another, so that probably has something to do with it. But getting added benefits like getting paid if I'm in the hospital, getting paid if I'm in a car accident, you know, things like this that I hope that I don't need to utilize but are there. Before, I would always say, I've never been in the hospital. I don't see myself going in the hospital. I don't need to pay $4 a month for that. And then last year, being in the hospital twice within a couple of months, being out of work for weeks, having cancer, basically just proved to me like, yeah, best laid plans, buddy. Better to have what you need than to need what you don't have. So yes, Monday will be an important discussion for those of you who still have to figure out what you're going to do for health insurance in 2025. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about the program that we discussed, I think it was earlier this week or late last week, in which they're going to have curbside donations in New Bedford where you can put things out, clothing, small household items, things like that, bedding, curtains, things that you are no longer allowed to throw away. They're going to be picking them up curbside on two different dates in January in New Bedford. You have to schedule an appointment. But sorry, just responding to a message here about something important. All right. The donation part isn't really easy for everybody because not everybody has a car. Not everybody can load up the car and bring the donation. So this way here, they're going to come and they're going to pick it up and make it easier for you. So we'll find out more details about that because it's an important thing to know. I mean, in the city, if you live in a triple decker and there's three or six families living in that home and you throw that stuff in the trash, I don't really know what's going to happen to you. But if you start putting that in your trash, if you are, you know, the only person that lives in a residence, the only family that lives in a residence, and you start putting that stuff in the trash, they know who to charge for that. They know who to fine for not following what is now the law when it comes to throwing those items away. And I don't know how much leeway they're giving people. I don't think I've thrown anything away like that since things changed. But I've seen things out in the trash. I've driven by people's trash and seen them throwing away. Oh, look, there's a comforter next to the trash barrel. That's supposed to go in the donation bin now. Unless it's soiled with, you know, biohazardous waste, if somebody's bled on it or whatnot. So we'll find out about how all that works. And that donation program next week. Today, I want to share with you a story that when I read it this morning, because I usually, you know, I get up at 4 a.m., I spend some time reading through some stories. Usually I would get up and go to my desk and sit at my computer and all of that, but now I just stay in bed under the electric blanket. And as I was going through some of these stories today, I saw a story that I couldn't believe, but at the same time, I wasn't surprised. And I don't know if you've ever purchased anything from the Massachusetts-based Wayfair. I purchased one thing from Wayfair. Well, I guess it technically counts as two things. But my bed came from Wayfair. It's a bed in a box. I had a big, I think queen size bed that was a hand-me-down from my ex-mother-in-law when we had moved way back in 2005. And when she gave it to us, it was already her old bed, her old mattress, her old box spring. She probably had it for 5 or 6 years when we got it. And then when we had it, we kept, you know, even after I separated from my wife, I still slept on it. Held on to that box spring and mattress from, we got it in 2005, from 2005 to 2022. Then in 2022, I said, I've got to get a new mattress. This thing is killing me. I can't get comfortable. I'm having a terrible night's sleep. Even though I'm the only one in it now and I have the whole thing to myself, it's just terrible. And so I said, I got to go get a new mattress. I started looking at them, said, well, look at these prices. I don't need a queen size bed. A full size is fine for me. Started looking at those, and even those were outrageous when it came to the price. So I was like, I'm just going to get one of these bed in a boxes. They're a couple of $100. The mattress is like $100. If I blow through it in a couple of years, it'll only be $100 to replace it. It's fine. And now I'm, what, 2 years into it? Over 2 years into it, and it's still fine. I haven't even shifted it around, flipped it over, anything like that. But I got that in the actual bed itself. I think I paid $300 for everything from Wayfair. That's the only thing I've ever purchased from Wayfair. And then a few times I've looked at items on there and said, well, that's something that I can't bring myself to spend the money. But a lot of folks like to use Wayfair. I see a lot of in Marketplace on Facebook, you know, things that people purchased on Wayfair, and they say, yeah, when I got it, it wasn't quite exactly what I expected, but, you know, it's hard to return stuff once you've brought it home and built it, so, you know, fine. You know, anybody wants this, I paid $80, I'll sell it for $50. But this woman in, let's see, where does she live? It doesn't say, but she's a Massachusetts woman. Channel 5 has the story. She purchased something on Black Friday from Wayfair. She was looking for an outdoor patio set. And the one that she liked was normally $900. And on Black Friday, it was marked down to $269.99. 70% off. So she said to herself, this is a great deal. I've got to jump on this. Even though, you know, it's Black Friday and I'm not going to probably use it until the spring, I can't pass up 70% off. I'm going to order this. So she paid for it and expected that it was going to be shipped to her and that she would be receiving it. Instead, a few days later, she got an email telling her that it is no longer available. Now, she knows that it came in three different colors. So she's like, you know what? Well, maybe I'll just go and get it in a different color instead. So she went to the Wayfair site and she found all three colors were in stock and on sale, including the exact one she ordered. However, the price had more than quadrupled. They had upped the price, not only from the $270 she paid, but from its original $900 price to $1,199, $1,199, and showed it in stock in every color. So she was like, well, if it's a stock issue, why is it still on the website? So she contacted Wayfair's customer service and was repeatedly told that they would not honor her previous price. And they kept transferring her from one person to another, to another, to another. And none of them could explain why they wouldn't fulfill her order, even though it was in stock. But Channel 5 said that, and they did offer to get her one at the new price, but they weren't going to honor the original price. And Channel 5 reports that Wayfair's terms of service say the company reserves the right to limit the order quantity on any item and or to refuse service to any customer. It also says that prices and availability of products on the sites are subject to change without notice. Errors will be corrected when discovered, and Wayfair reserves the right to revoke any stated offer and to correct any error. And this woman said she would understand if it was a pricing mistake, but none of the people that she talked to at Wayfair said, oh, that was a mistake in the price. Sorry. So News Center 5 reached out to Wayfair, and a spokesperson told them that the item was canceled because it was a pricing error and that does happen from time to time given how big their catalog is. And in Massachusetts, pricing regulations do allow companies to void a sale if the price is the result of an error. And that's something that has always been a confusing issue for people. Because when I was, you know, learning to be a consumer, I was told that if they have something incorrectly priced on the shelf or incorrectly ticketed on the item, they have to honor whatever price it is. So if you go into the store and there's a $200 item that somebody accidentally put as $2, whether it be on the sticker on the item or whether it be on the sign itself, well, they had to sell you that item for $2 because that's what they were advertising as the price. And I don't know if that wasn't the case or if things changed. My guess is that things probably changed because it became easier for people to do things like, let me peel this price tag off and stick it on this item instead. Let me move this sign over and do this instead. So people were scamming that system. And one of the ways that people would scam the system would be, like I said, price tag switching. Now there are cameras in all the stores, so, you know, something like that would probably get caught on video, but not back in the 80s. The other thing, too, is I do think that if it's advertised in a circular, they have to honor that price. Because they printed that. They should have proofed that before it went out to people. But in this particular case, I guess Wayfair was in its rights to cancel that and say, no, that's not the actual price. But what a horrible thing to do. And also, this is Wayfair. This is a huge company. They could have avoided bad publicity by just saying, you know what, our mistake, this time out, we will sell, you know, we'll honor this sale. But just know, ma'am, in the future, we reserve the right to change the prices. Because Wayfair didn't even pay $270 for this item. So they're still making a profit. That's just my guess. But I'm going to ask, have you had any issues like that? Any pricing issues like that? 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. It's a very important thing to be paying attention to, especially this weekend as people are probably buying the last of their items online. Probably going out and doing some of the last of their shopping. The old switcheroo on the prices. We'll be back in just a few moments. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns to snow in my clutch. I'm too much. Oh, I'm too much, baby. And welcome back in. Now it's time to go now into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
A government shutdown not out of the picture. Amazon workers on strike. And it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a familiar face back on the big screen.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The House is rejecting the latest spending bill that would avert a government shutdown. In a Thursday evening vote, almost 40 Republicans voted against the 116-page proposal, which was supported by President-elect Trump. Democrats voted mostly along party lines, opposing the bill that included disaster relief money and funding for farmers. Luigi Mangione is now facing federal charges that, upon conviction, could trigger the death penalty. The 26-year-old, accused of assassinating UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson on December 4th, is now federally charged with murder, stalking, and a firearms offense. That's in addition to 11 New York State charges, including murder with a terrorism enhancement. Amazon workers are on strike. The Teamsters Union says it's the largest strike against Amazon in U.S. history. Picket lines are up at Amazon facilities in New York City, Atlanta, San Francisco, the Chicago area, and three locations in Southern California. The FAA is temporarily banning drones over several parts of New Jersey, citing special security reasons. Unidentified drone sightings have been rampant over the Garden State in recent weeks, causing concern among many residents. While the federal government has said they found no threat to national security, the FAA's ban lasts through January 17th. The Christmas rush at the airport began on Thursday. TSA spokesman Patty Mancha says they predict that holiday travel will exceed what was seen during Thanksgiving, which set records. She says that some of the top brass will work the security lanes alongside the rank and file to get travelers safely on their way. U.S. population growing at the fastest rate since 2001. That's according to new Census Bureau data. The nation's population grew by nearly 1% and surpassed 340 million people. This comes after a two-decade slump and is now toward more historical norms. The Census Bureau attributes the rise to international migration. And DC Studios is out with the first trailer for next summer's Superman film. The footage gives fans a first look at iconic characters such as the Man of Steel, Crypto the Superdog, the Green Lantern, and Hawkgirl. Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and Lex Luthor are all seen in the trailer as well. Superman will fly into theaters on July 11th.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics and the Bulls in Chicago on Saturday, Bruins and the Buffalo Sabres Saturday at TD Garden in Boston, and the New England Patriots host the Buffalo Bills at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on Sunday. You can tune into the game here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A chilly day out there today and cloudy as well. Temperatures in the 30s pretty much all day long. Afternoon rain moving in and potentially a little snow later, making for tricky driving in the evening, although we're just going to get a coating of that snow, if anything. On Saturday, partly cloudy, a high of 33. On Sunday, more sun, but will be even cooler, colder. 24 degrees is your high on Sunday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with a WBSM app.
Welcome to the family zoo.
And that is Fightin' Around the Christmas Tree, which claims to be an obscure 60s soul song from the Motown label, but it's not true. It's from a YouTube channel called Relatable Grooves, in which they do all these different style songs that they claim are lost songs that people have forgotten. And that's one of the funny ones. I mean, they're all pretty funny. But they do a really great job of making it sound like it really was a Motown song from the 60s. And they even write a little, you know, blurb about each one. And this one says, "This obscure Motown Christmas classic, Fightin' Around the Christmas Tree, was recorded in 1967 by forgotten soul singer Big Jimmy Cratchfield. A former boxer turned crooner Jimmy penned the tune after a holiday brawl with his in-laws over burnt turkey and missing gifts. Fueled by eggnog and heartbreak, he stormed into Hitsville, USA, demanding to record. The result? A soulful, velvet-voiced anthem about festive feuds, complete with sleigh bells and punches. Though it never charted, bootleg vinyls became cult treasures, earning Jimmy the title, the King of Christmas Chaos." And it's just, it's so good. You could play that for somebody, and they would think that it was real. And as I mentioned before, that was one of my favorite things growing up was novelty Christmas songs. You know, I had enough of listening to all my mom's Christmas tapes. I wanted the funny stuff. And those are the songs that I still think of as the actual lyrics to songs. Now, like, I can't hear the 12 Days of Christmas being sung without being like, "Rigging up the lights!" at some point. From those Bob Rivers Twisted Christmas. Everybody had Twisted Christmas when I was a kid. It was either, you know, that 12 Days of Christmas they remembered, or walking around in women's underwear instead of walking into Winter Wonderland. That was always on the radio. It was a simpler time, folks. It was a simpler time when we only needed to change the lyrics into something silly to make people laugh. 508-996-0500. Got an app chat message from somebody who said, "I went through the..." Who's this? Donovan. "I went through the same thing with Wayfair. The price changed after I made my purchase and I was told it was out of stock." Or, I mean, if you're... It's entirely possible that it was out of stock and they got it at a different price from the supplier, but no, I'm trying to find out where it was possibly okay. But I guess in Wayfair's mind, because of the terms that they have, they can do what they want. So if they want to make it a certain price to entice people in to look at it and then pull that rug out from under them, I guess they can do that. Because what's the option? Well, what's the risk? So they might get mad and not come back, but Wayfair's got so many customers, they can lose a few. And maybe it also becomes a bit of a scam on their part, because you say, "Well, it's not $279 anymore. It's $1,200." And the person says, "Yeah, well, I still want it. I had my heart set on it, so I'll just pay that if that's the price." I mean, are they doing that? Because that would be horrendous. And anybody that does that should be ashamed of themselves. That's like the biggest, oldest upsell trick in the book. I mean, yeah, you can get a $279 table, but this one is more, this is more patio set for your money. And I know it's more money than you were planning on paying before, but this is actually more what you're looking for. It's like when you go to buy a car, and they're trying to upsell you on all the different, like, you get in the car that has all the options. And then they say, "Well, how much is it?" "Well, they start at 18,000. But they're not telling you the one that you just test drove is actually 28,000. So you start with the $18,000. Well, you want heated seats? Oh, you want those? And my favorite was, and I never bought myself a brand new car. Always a used car. I mean, usually pretty good used car. I've got some very good used cars over the years, but I've never bought a brand new car. So I'm just buying whatever's already in the car. I'm not picking options. But I did go and look at brand new cars from time to time. And I thought that it was, I always thought that it was kind of cheap and chintzy that if you bought a brand new car, they would upcharge you for an FM radio back in the 80s and into the 90s even. Like, who's just making an AM radio and putting that in a car? But you want the FM stereo sound? Well, that's an extra $100. Oh, you want a cassette player? When everybody in the world had a cassette player in their car? Well, that's another $100. And in fact, one of the things I remember being popular items at the junkyard were the radio, the tape deck. If you went to Robertson's in Wareham, and I went there frequently for parts for my cars, in the showroom, you know, in the office area where they would cash you out, they always had on display radios and tape decks and CD players and all that, because that's what people would go and buy those, put them in their car. It was cheaper to go get them from Robertson's than it was to have them added in at the dealership. And I just didn't understand at a time when, you know, everybody in the world had cassette tapes. Why are you paying extra? Why isn't that just standard? And later on, it was HD radio. Didn't really take off. Then satellite radio. Now it's smart dashes. They just keep finding ways to upcharge it. We actually had an article at WBSM.com the other day about when radios and cars were banned in Massachusetts. Because people thought they were a distraction. They were distracted driving. And that was my argument when all this distracted driving about cell phones was, you know, in discussions. At one point, people thought radios were a distraction and shouldn't be in cars. And people learned to be able to operate the radio while driving. And that, you know, two generations from now, three generations from now, they're going to be perfectly fine using a phone while driving. Or at least better than they are now. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. To unwrap you at Christmas, dream of nothing more. So dear Santa, when you've read my letter, please drop her at my door. I've been waiting all year now, baby. And that, of course, is The Monkees from The Monkees' Christmas album, which came out in 2018. Of course, now we only have one monkey remaining with us, Mickey Dolenz, but he's out on tour. He was just in Boston a couple weeks ago. My friend Jody is his publicist, and he's performing, you know, almost on a nightly basis, putting on these great shows, and he's doing very well, but he is the only monkey surviving after we lost Peter and Davey and Mike over the years. But 2018, they put out their Christmas album. It's actually called Christmas Party. And it was a follow-up to their 2016 album, Good Times, which was kind of like a big comeback album for them, in which some of the top musicians and music producers of the modern era, who are all big Monkees fans, wrote songs for the Monkees and produced songs for the Monkees to give them kind of a modern feel. Like Andy Partridge of XTC, Rivers Cuomo of Weezer, and kind of the spearheading producer for all of this, the person who made it all happen, was Adam Schlesinger, the late Adam Schlesinger of Fountains of Wayne. And these albums are just fantastic. They're just as good as some of the older stuff, you know, in the Boyce and Hart days, when Neil Diamond was writing for the Monkees or Carole King. I mean, they had some of the most talented people writing those songs for them. And then the stuff that they wrote themselves was pretty good, too. I'm just as much a fan of when the Monkees said, we're doing things our way, and put that music out themselves. Wrote it, recorded it, all of that. But so much of those Christmas tracks from the Christmas Party album should be instant classics. It's a very fun album. And it wasn't like they got all the Monkees together in the studio. You know, things were recorded, bits and pieces. The stuff that Davey recorded, he recorded before he passed away because he died before they made that album. But the idea of putting out a Christmas album always fascinates me because they usually, if they're going to release a Christmas album from somebody, it usually comes out in like October or November, which means in order to get it done in time, they're probably recording it like April, May, June, probably putting finishing touches on it over the summer and then getting it. So you've got to be in the Christmas spirit at an odd time of year. And you heard the story, if you were listening to America in the Morning, they were telling the story about how when Brenda Lee recorded Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, it was obviously not Christmas time because they wanted to have it out for Christmas. So they made it as cold as they could in the studio with air conditioning and brought in Christmas decorations to give it that Christmassy feel. And I wonder if, you know, that's not an uncommon practice when musicians are recording their Christmas songs or Christmas albums to have to, you know, make the studio feel more Christmassy. I always thought, gee, the smart thing to do would be record the vocals at Christmas time and then just save them for putting out, you know, like just get them done then when people are feeling it and they're festive and they're in the mood. I don't know if this is true, if it's urban legend, something that I heard on the radio years ago, but the Santa Claus is Coming to Town that Bruce Springsteen is so famous for was performed at a summertime show. I don't know if that's true. I suppose I could look it up. It's probably on Wikipedia. But that the audience was originally like, wait, why is he doing a Christmas song? And then he told them afterwards, oh, that's for a Christmas release, but we had to record it now. Again, could just be urban legend. But I'm a person that sits there and wonders things about music that other people probably wouldn't think. Like, just shut up and enjoy the song, Tim. Like, no, I want to know how it worked. How did it happen? What was it like in the studio? I love watching music documentaries for that very reason. 508-996-0500. Caller, I've got to take this break. But when we come back, I will take your call if we've got some time before the news. All right, I looked it up. So Bruce Springsteen recorded that song on December 12th, 1975, but it wasn't released until later on a Sesame Street album in 1981. So that's why it came out a different time of year, but it was recorded on December 12th, but then appeared on a Sesame Street album, which I didn't know. Fascinating. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Question. You probably know this better than I would. You're talking about the Monkees when I first tuned in. Mm-hmm. Someone told me this once, and it was stuck in my head, and I'm pretty sure it's true, that when the first Monkees did their first world tour, Jimi Hendrix opened up for them.
He was, yeah. He was the opening act for the Monkees.
That was really true. Someone told me that once, and I was like, no way. And I said, oh, I guess it's true.
And I believe he quit the tour because he was getting booed off the stage by all the young girls who just wanted to see the Monkees.
Little did they know.
Right.
All right, Dave, hey, you have a happy holidays.
You as well. Thanks. And yeah, I mean, the Monkees they were friends with a lot of key artists of the time. You know, Harry Nilsson, Frank Zappa, they both appeared on the Monkees. The caller mentioned, Jimi Hendrix toured with them. They also were friendly with the Beatles. So the Monkees were better respected from the musicians of the time than by the actual music industry. And if not for Jan Wenner, they would be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now that Jan Wenner's out, let's get them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because they belong there. You know, there's groups that are in there that didn't play their own instruments.